Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. Love having you boxers along with us in the ring to throw some haymakers and jabs and have some fun along the way. A jab was taken on Twitch comparing me to a former host you used to work with here because I said I have so many questions. Don't ever do that.
Who is that? Who is that?
I'm not calling out names.
I'm ready to throw a buzz today. Let's go.
But someone saying calling me Josh Jr. is never going to put you in favor with me.
Josh Jr.
Because I was using that a long time before, and it doesn't matter. It's a phrase. Anyone can use it. So I have so many questions. That's it. Okay? And Nick has answers. And that's how we have discussions. That's how the show works. All right. So hour number two, we'll start with your Astros. And they were, you know, the old adage that I kept thinking about was good pitching beats good hitting,
mm-hmm.
you know, almost every time. The problem is that you look at run production. You look at only one hit yesterday. You look at four hits over two games. I don't care how good the pitching is. This lineup is too good to have multiple guys scuffling at the same time and go, this is something, even in the Padres series or even when the White Sox were in Houston, that the entire lineup seemed so focused on going, you know what? We're dialed in and we're gonna take it to another level, send another message, and win another game. It just didn't look like they had it. You know, Yordan is just brutal right now.
Yeah, he's not doing well.
And Correa, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he's coming back from having missed time. And if he did have the COVID or for whatever he was out for, the fact is you probably get weak. If the case of Kyle Tucker, he had lost 10 pounds. And then you didn't get any kind of rehab where you got minor league pitching to get back to where you think you're ready. And then you're facing two of the better pitchers in baseball. So you can make excuses till you're blue in the face. But the fact is, look, you won the season series against the White Sox. And you did so rather dominantly with the exception of the last two games. But it also shows you that there's work to do, and more so than the fact that you're getting Bregman back, that these guys, I believe, are all going to snap out of it. I heard Charlie before no one else did, in basically referencing, you know, some of the guys that were scuffling in the last 20 or so at-bats.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Yuli. I'm not worried about Yordan, and I'm not worried about Altuve, okay?
I'm not. I'm actually more, and I'm not necessarily super, like, panic mode. I'm more worried about Framber Valdez and whether or not he bounces back because he hasn't had, now he's had three games where he hasn't had the best game, you know, in the world. Now, I even said last week, if you look back at the first series the Astros had against the White Sox, Carlos Rendon kind of had his way with the Astros. Cease was the one that didn't have the great game in that first series. And guess what? He didn't really do well in this series as well. Even though the Astros lost the second series against the Chicago White Sox, I'm still calling them the better team. The fact that they were still able to put 10 runs on this team, even though they lost two out of the three games, I'm still saying this is a better team. And I know the standings, you know, somebody can make the argument otherwise, particularly if you're a fan in Chicago. But look, the fact that you can still put 10 runs on this team, to me, says a lot, regardless of the fact that you lost this series. Plus, don't remember, they swept them the first time. So I still think they're a better team. But those are just some of the concerns that I have. Number one, making sure Framber Valdez and Odorizzi, they get out of their stink. And I don't think it's a bad stink. I don't think it's impossible. Alvarez is something that I'm concerned about. Alex Bregman, I think he'll be fine. But I want to know how long will it take for him to go back to his normal self. I think that's really important. And I think if those things happen, and you couple all that with the fact that James Click has a long leash, dealing with the budget and the threshold within the budget and making a move for someone like Max Scherzer, which I don't know if it's going to happen.
Multiple sources reporting over the weekend, if you missed it, that the Astros are in on at least discussions with the Nationals to inquire about trying to make a move for Max Scherzer. It's a change from what we thought, which was it was going to be bullpen focused if you're the Astros and maybe a bat. But you know what? This is an Astros move. We saw him do it with Verlander. We saw him do it with Greinke. We could see him do it again with Scherzer, and I'd love it. The question that I have is, at what price? Who are they giving up? We already said their farm system is fairly depleted. When Buster only reported that they were in the mix along with the A's for Craig Kimbrell, the price was Brian Abreu, please take him, and three prospects. The number three prospect, the number 20-something and 30-something pick in the Astros farm system. I'm all good with those kind of prospects, and we've seen this in the Verlander trade. We don't know what beer is going to be in Arizona, which you had to give up to get Greinke, but it was worth it because you got to game 7 of the World Series.
Absolutely.
This is why you look at the Tigers prospects. including Daz Cameron, that they got for Verlander. No one has done anything or even shown signs that they will do anything that said the Astros should not have made that move. So that's why I'd be all in on if that same package could be used to get a Scherzer. Scherzer's going to be free at the end of the year. If there's a discussion that you can get to where you know you're getting Greinke's money off the books, you're getting Verlander's money off the books, and Scherzer will take in the neighborhood of what Greinke was making, you're a better team, in my opinion. You've got more of a workhorse. You've got more of a power arm. You've got a three-time Cy Young Award winner. Greinke has lost his fastball, literally, but he's still effective. Scherzer's dominant still.
Yeah, and you're right. What do you have to give up? And I don't see how if you're Washington, you don't want at least two top prospects in return, right? Even though...
Someone said Luis Garcia. Are you willing, Nick, to give up prospects and Luis Garcia instead of Brian Abreu to get Max Scherzer?
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that. Look, at the end of the day, this massive run in this core is eventually going to get broken up. You can look at it like the Justin Verlander situation and sometimes realize, you know what, sometimes you do have to give up some stuff. But when you're a team that's not too far away from winning a World Series, that's what you do. Remember, Max Scherzer's contract, I believe it's at $34 million, but it's going to be prorated. So they're probably going to owe him somewhere in the ballpark of about $15 million.
I think it's like 11 for the final 2 months.
Okay, so yeah. $11 million. So I thought it was 15. So
but
it's
I think
11,
the important thing is, though, can you get him? Because if you can re-sign him, it's worth it to me.
Right, but and look, he might want to leave. He might want to stay. I don't know, you know, how he feels, but I think it would be more enticing for him to stay in the event that they won. I think Max Scherzer is the guy that can put you over the top. I might be okay with giving up Luis Garcia, man. I might. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Well, you've got all these pitchers under team control.
What if they view Abreu like he's like the way you view Abreu? I mean, like.
Well, but you know, Nick, he has electric stuff, and he's got a major league arm. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are enticed by that. But the thing that I'm looking at is, and I watched the game last night, the Red Sox-Yankee game, and I had to hear A-Rod say, look, if you're the Red Sox and the Yankees, you should be in a buyer's mode. Because they see the American League and say, it's wide open, and it's anybody's to win. I'd like to think the Astros are a cut above that. And whether it's the Astros and the White Sox as the top two teams, as the records seem to show, or you want to say that there are other teams on the cusp, I don't think anybody's close to having, as we said, the only hole really the Astros have had has been the bullpen. However, because of Odorizzi's last starts, because of Fromber's last starts, I'm a little more concerned about having a legit ace because Grinke's a guy that doesn't throw hard enough for me in the playoffs to be a guy that I believe with Greinke, because of so much off speed, there's a chance a dink and a dunk and players are going to put bat on the ball.
Sure.
To where that if you need, you're going up against somebody else's ace, you got to keep it to 1-2 runs. Greinke, as we've seen from time to time, because of his soft stuff, can get hurt. I think you still could use a dominant ace at the top of the rotation. And if you have all these players under team control, and the kicker to me is the one that's really going to control this, I think, is Urquidy. If we know Urquidy's coming back this year, and you've got Fromber and you've got Urquidy, Garcia could be expendable. And if not, then basically, I don't know what other kind of packages you're going to put together for whoever you're looking at. I don't think you could be expected to get an ace. But then you might as well just say, we're going to roll with what we got. We got to outscore the other team. Our starters normally keep us in the game. And then we need some bullpen help.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Because honestly, I think even getting the deal with for Max Scherzer is going to be tough too. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I think it's going to be tough.
But the kicker, and again, how big the market sits for Scherzer and how many teams get involved. But the kicker is he's going to be free. So you can't ask for the moon if you're the Nationals. Unless there's multiple teams interested and you can bump up the price. But otherwise, if you know that he's going to hit free agency at the end of the year, then teams aren't going to be willing to give up as much because it's a rental.
Yeah. Manny wants to get in and talk Astros. Manny, you're on the press box.
Manny, what's up? Hello.
He gone.
All right. I think that's the bigger issue. Now, if you had Scherzer under contract for the next 4 or 5 years, and you knew you were getting him for relatively the same amount as you would have had to give up for that you're paying Greinke, then I know that I get to give up more because I know I'm going to have him for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But if you know that he's just a rental, there's no team that's going to give you their top, you know, Leon is one of their top. They're not going to give up their top best prospects if they know it's just going to be for 2 months.
Plus, Max is probably looking for one last contract, maybe something that lasts him through the age of 40. That's what I'm thinking, right? He's, what, 35, 36? I imagine he wants one last contract that's probably 3 or 4 years that gets him to 40. That's my guess. He probably,
I don't know if he wants to go to 40, but just like we see with Verlander, that's why for all these people that have this pipe dream that Verlander's going to come back and pitch for the Astros, I'm telling you right now the reason why he's not, because he, to your point, Nick, he wants one more contract. And if he goes out there and comes back too soon, or goes out there and gives it all for the Astros and blows it out again or hurts himself, he's not getting another contract from anybody, let alone a contender. So he has too much to lose to risk coming back to go one more time with the Astros when we don't know when he's going to be ready to go. So I would say, hate to burst your bubble, but Verlander ain't coming back, which is another reason why you should probably focus on getting yourself one more ace.
Yeah, I tend to be. All right, Manny, I'm going to give you one more chance. Manny, you're on the press box. What's up?
Bro, I got fat cheeks and hit the mute button, my bad.
No problem.
Looking from a fan's perspective, okay, if any year at all we want the Astros to win the World Series, it is this year right here. Mm-hmm. With everything that they've gone through, all the crap they have to put up with in different ballparks, all the narratives in media, all the crap that's gone on, this is the year we want the Astros to win the World Series. And to that I say, put a package together to get Scherzer here in Houston, right? Mm-hmm. And then under the premise that Correa is not going to re-sign here, because that seems to be the consensus because they didn't sign him before the season started, go and put a package and bring Starling Marte in. I know Miles Straw has been more than any of us expected on the offensive side of the baseball. He's come alive on the defensive end. He's got 5 outfield assists this year. He's been better than what we thought he was going to be. But if you can replace him with an all-star like Marte in center field and just put the pedal to the metal, I mean, balls to the wall, let's go win a World Series in 2021. Because if there's any season at all in the history of the Astros, this is the season to win the World Series, just to kind of stick the finger in the baseball world's face and say, shut up, go away, leave us alone.
I agree with most of that, Manny, and I'm on the same page as you for sure. And I'm in go-for-it mode because even A-Rod said last night, it's like Dan Marino. You make the playoffs your first year, and you expect it's going to happen on a regular basis. He never got back there again. You've got to go for it when the window's open, and I agree with you. I'm not sure that I'm looking at a center fielder before I'm worried about bullpen help, because even if you – whatever you have to give up, and even if it is one of the young starters, you still have enough arms as starters, but I'm still concerned as you get to 6, 7, 8, 9 later in the game that Presley and relying on a Ryan Stanek as opposed to the Pens of the past when you had Will Harris that led you into Presley, that led you into Osuna, that they still are lacking a little bit there that I would focus on before I would go get another bat, because I don't disagree with you in center field, but Straw has stepped up for the time being. But he's never done that in the playoffs, and that would be another concern. And as Nick has said, and I completely agree, the only way to shut everyone up once and for all is to win it all this year. So you're right. It heightens the sense of urgency that go for it this season. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and look, that's not to say that the front office doesn't have that mentality. It's just a matter of them being able to pull the trigger and actually get a deal done. And even someone like Max Scherzer, if you think it makes complete sense, it's going to be a very difficult deal to get done, even for James Click and Crane, who are completely open of breaking the threshold on the budget. So it'll be interesting to see.
Appreciate the call, Manny. Don't be a stranger. I always love you to have you chiming in. Lots more to get to on the program. We'll continue to roll through some baseball, some crazy things during the year of the fan that continue to pop up. God, what happened in Washington and also what happened in New York. Unbelievable as the year of the fan continues, and not in a good way. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Cars for Kids. I'm telling you about them because it's a great, great program, and it benefits kids and a school and school in Houston, Texas, not somewhere across the country. Look, if you've got an old vehicle lying around, a lot of times when cars stop working, you throw it out behind the garage, or if you live out in the country, you throw it out in the field. You may not even be able to find the title, but you don't want to go through the hassle of having someone tow it away, and you don't know if someone's going to charge you to actually take your junk, so you just don't worry about it. Well, now you can, because it doesn't matter if you have the title or not. They'll find it for you. All you do is go to carsforkids.org And it's just going to be the gift that keeps on giving. You give them the old clunker, it may not even be working. It could be a motorcycle, a boat, a trailer, or a car. They're going to take it off your hands. They're going to tow it away. They're also going to get, it's going to give you a tax write-off. So they're going to give you a receipt so that you, it'll help you and give back to you that way. Mention ESPN 97.5, a $50 gift card as well is included for you. And that's where the process really begins. Because now they take that vehicle or whatever you donate and they turn it into resources so that kids trying to get a second chance at a diploma can get what they need. So that the Houston Can Academies can benefit as they teach the kids. And it's a phenomenal, phenomenal program here in Houston. And it's really that simple. And you guys get something instead of paying for a tow truck and paying to have someone take a bad, crusty vehicle off your hands. You get a $50 gift card. You get a tax write-off. And you get the good feeling inside knowing I did something to help kids get an education. It's a fantastic program. You can call them 713-225-4226 or go to carsforkids.org. It's really simple, people. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Continuing to roll out number 2 3-hour program, it is The Press Box on ESPN, and it's Nick and myself till 4 p.m. as we keep you hopefully entertained, talking sports and other things, and keep it local. You know what the best part about it is? We keep it from being over the top, dominated by the flagship team that tells you what you have to say. We tell you what you want to say. You want to talk about real opinions? We got them for you here on the box as we roll through some Astros talk that we were getting into and the fact that, look, they got to do something. And I thought, I found it interesting that, you know, that A-Rod was talking about with Vasgersian last night about how the Red Sox and the Yankees, instead of being sellers in the Yankees' case, but in seeing an opportunity if you're the Red Sox, that the Red Sox would trade for an Anthony Rizzo and that they would go in full go-for-it mode. And that's when A-Rod got into talking about how you never know how many of these opportunities you're going to get, so therefore, when you get them, you got to go for it. And, and Manny's really spot on it because it's something that you've said over and over, Nick. And the more I think about it, the more it isn't just getting there again or making a long run. This is the one opportunity that you have to shut America up once and for all on the cheating. And to do that, you may have to suffer long-term consequences if you give up a prospect that ends up being something better than or an all-star caliber player. And we've seen it happen from Tatis Jr., who went for big game James, Tampa and Padres pitcher was traded to the White Sox, got Tatis Jr. out of it, and look what's happened. You know, sometimes you win a trade, sometimes you lose a trade, but you know what? Along the way, you never have to look back and go, God, if we only would have pulled the trigger on this move. But it's even more hypercritical for an Astros team because this is your moment to say there's no trash cans, there's no any kind of distract, you know, there's no other kind of cheating going on, there's no buzzers. This is us giving the biggest middle finger to the entire baseball world and saying, you hate to admit it, but we're just that good.
Yeah, because if you don't, and you don't win the World Series, you basically have the burden as a team to prove to us that you can kind of surprise us again and get back into contention. Because I think most people will view this team as a very good team that probably lost its chances big time the following season to really win another World Series. So I think this year is the big year to do it, just like Manny said on the call. And so I don't know if this move is dependent, you know, like them winning the World Series is dependent on whatever move James Click and Crane does, but it certainly wouldn't help. I mean, it wouldn't hurt their cause if they did improve their bullpen and get the right pitcher. I mean, it's...
So here's what I'm willing to do, Nick. Because we don't have the farm system here, and it's been documented that other teams do, we aren't the biggest, most money-spending teams in Major League Baseball like the Dodgers or the Yankees, right? But we have a surplus that other teams always want. That's starting pitching. So if you got to give up Garcia, and you give up Odorizzi. Because, look, at the start of the year, you thought you needed Odorizzi. You thought he had a lot left in the tank, and you thought he was going to be a key piece, not knowing that all these young arms were going to actually not fall off from last year and make you believe you're going to have cheap contracts, team control, and a lot of years with them. So now you have something that other teams don't. You have seven starting pitchers, and you only need five. So if you know that Urquidy's coming back and he's going to be okay, if you need to use Odorizzi, because there's always a team looking for a veteran starting pitcher. He doesn't look good in the bullpen. The one time they used him, it took him an hour and a half to get ready because he went through the same routine he did as a starter.
And just, we don't think he wants to be
and
there.
Exactly. And he doesn't want to be there. So if you can trade Odorizzi in one deal and you can use Garcia in another, and maybe whether it's Manny's point of getting a bat, another bat in the lineup, or it's my focus, which has always been the bullpen, now you have some of the assets that are necessary to get this team over the top. Because in my estimation, the Astros are number one, assuming that the guys that are slumping this weekend aren't going to slump for the long term. The Astros are the number one team in the American League. And with the Dodgers having all their issues with Kershaw and with Bauer, and I'm going to stick to what I said. I don't think Bauer's pitching this rest of this year unless there's some resolution legally criminally with the police.
Pretty safe assumption, I think.
The Dodgers are not that head and shoulders favorite they once were, and that opens the door like the Bucks and the Suns. Hey, you didn't ask for them to go through this. You didn't wish this upon them, but if they're going to ask you, if you're starving and they're going to put a burger and fries in front of you, might as well eat. So if you've got problems, that's not our problem. Now we've got a better opportunity to win it all. Now I got to go full go for it mode.
Yeah, they did. And look, to your point about Zach Greinke, I think you're right. As much as I love him, I mean, there's just too many opportunities for batters to see that right pitch, know what's coming, and just completely impact the game and change the direction of it. I don't think, you know, Greinke is you know, a liability to the extent that most people feel, but I do think with that pitching situation, dude, and maybe it's just me wanting Max Scherzer on the team too much, that would be a great addition because I think it alleviates the issues that you have with Greinke, alleviates the issues that you have with the bullpen, and as long as your bats are going to come through, which I feel like everybody is confident that they will, I mean, dude.
Let me throw it to you this way, Nick, to back up your point. When we knew Zach Greinke was pitching Game 7 for the Astros, were you feeling confident?
No. You're feeling like okay, but you're a little nervous. You know, that's the feeling you got.
If you told me you thought he was going to give you what he gave you for 6+, you're out of your mind lying. Because most people said you'd rather have Cole or Verlander or an overpowering horse on the hill, not a puss ball thrower that a mistake is a lot easier to hit when it's only coming between 88 and 90. As opposed to 95 to 98 plus.
Well, he's on the mound tonight against the Indians.
We'll see what he's got. Remember, they pulled him early in his last start pre-All-Star break.
Yeah.
They said nothing's wrong with him. We'll find out a whole lot tonight in terms of what Greinke's going to give you the rest of the way. That's the first half of the program. Second half comes up next. Stay right where you are. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box. Lots to get to. Still, second half of the program, 90 in, 90 to go. A lot of good dialogue as everybody's getting involved in the Astros discussions, and I love it. At the same time, people have a lot more that they're throwing onto the table. Look, I'm not willing to, regardless of whether Correa signs or doesn't at the end of the year, I'm willing to roll the dice, take the chances with that, that someone, if someone gives them an offer and knocks it out of the park, then so be it. It's a shortstop's market this offseason, and maybe some teams will see what the Astros are capable of doing and say, I want to join that squad. I want to play for that team. You hate to see Correa go. I have my doubts about not only does he finish the season this strong offensively, but can he continue to maintain it for the next several years, and especially if he's looking for a long, long-term deal at very, very big dollars. I think that it's, you know, buyer's remorse, and I think that there's been so many cases, starting with Albert Pujols, where it just doesn't make sense to go long-term big dollars with a guy that up until this season so far, knock on wood, is his first year where he's stayed relatively healthy. So I'm not worried about that aspect, but I'm not trading him. I'm not pulling the plug before the deadline going, if we know we're not going to re-sign him and people are, you know, inquiring, going, well, if you're not, if you know Correa's going to go elsewhere, trade him now. No, because to yours and Manny's point, Nick, and mine too, because I support both of them and I'm in full agreement, it's so impactful. It would be so impactful to win it this year, to send that message, to put to rest and put to bed anyone and everyone that's had any trash can to bang or, you know, thing to say or yell and all the crap the players have put up with. That's why you're not selling anybody, but you can take, like I said, you have a surplus of starters. You have some people in your system. You have some live arms that are major league stuff ready. If you want Josh James and Brian Abreu and guys like that, have at it.
Yeah. I want them to do any move possible that they can get the right pitcher on this team. You know what I mean? The right player, but preferably the right pitcher, because I think that's the absolute need for this team. Look, they have shown that sometimes when pitching is not on point, that their bats can supplement, but it just, you can't expect that to do, you can't expect the Astros to do that in the post game, the postseason, each and every game. You just can't do that. It's just not going to happen. I think it's an unfair expectation, and that's why it's on the front office. There's a little bit of pressure on them, as they should be, because, yeah, they have an enormous amount of talent on this team. I just don't think it's enough. But,
yeah, what? See, when he threw out that go get another bat, and especially a center fielder,
I don't know.
I didn't see that coming. I don't think that's a big enough need.
I don't know.
I get it. The last three in the lineup are somewhat of a liability, and Maldonado you deal with because of the fact that he's such a good catcher. But, yeah, Straw's been good for a short period of time. He's never been in the playoffs as an everyday starter. I would have concerns, but it wouldn't be my first thought of what this team needs.
I agree.
And Chaz McCormick, as you've mentioned too, helps because you've got at least a viable backup that can come in, step in and maybe give you a boost if Straw falls off.
Yeah.
So
did you see the baseball fan that threw the baseball?
Yeah.
Onto the field
at Verdugo, Alex Verdugo, the left fielder of the Red Sox, got hit in the back. Evidently Verdugo, whether it was a foul ball or a ball that ended up getting out of the bullpen, he turned and threw a baseball into the stands, and he was trying to get it to a kid, but an adult intercepted it and then chose to throw it back onto the field and hit Verdugo in the back, and he was pissed.
Yeah, he had a lot to say about it after the game.
As fans, bro, like, y'all got to be better, man. It's just that simple, bro. You can't – I don't care how much you hate a team, how much a rivalry is, and you just – you don't throw shit at people, man. It's just that simple. You wouldn't do that to somebody in the street. You wouldn't do that to me, you know, if we were standing right next to each other without a 40-foot gap and offenses to separate us. So it's just one of those things, man. Like, I'm here to play hard. I'm here to interact, bullshit, and give, you know, kind of give it back to the fans, you know, jaw back with them, bullshit back with them. But, you know, that's part of, like, the fun. You know, that's kind of like that fun. But like I said, once you throw back at players, you're crossing a line, and in my personal feelings of that is the line was crossed. And,
I don't blame him.
I just wasn't going to sit there and stand for it.
I don't blame him one bit, Nick. It's one thing to say someone threw popcorn on Russell Westbrook. You took a regulation baseball and you hit a player. Now you're lucky you hit him in the backside.
I know,
as opposed to the head or some place where it could have really done some serious damage. Major League Baseball acted swiftly. To their credit, they were able to locate the fan. Now, the crazy thing was the fan was not put under arrest and did not face any legal issues.
No.
However, Major League Baseball banned him. They found him and they banned him from all Major League Baseball parks for a lifetime. Now, that's interesting because, as we always say, well, how can you do that, right? How can you police that? If this a-hole in New York decides to go catch a game in Philadelphia or Milwaukee or Cleveland, how the hell are you going to keep this guy from going to a game?
Yeah, I'm sure he can find his way back into it. I think it's more of a message thing, right? Because normally when you see bans or you hear about bans, it's usually coming from the team in that particular stadium. But this case, Major League Baseball stepped in and said, not only you're not allowed at that particular stadium, you're not allowed at any stadium. So I think it's more about Major League Baseball trying to send a message. But we've talked about this all the time. We've talked about how it is more difficult to police that. But at the same time, there are ways to put, you know, an archive or develop some sort of archive where you put your name in the system. Because a lot of times you can't really walk in with like a tangible ticket. It's on your phone. And when it's on your phone, you have to use your legal name. And, you know, I guess with like for example, like when you've hooked me up or I've gotten tickets from other people in the past.
Hey, I've hooked you up. I like that's better that way.
The app that I would have to go through an app.
For baseball, right.
Right. And so
Do they do any hard tickets anymore?
I haven't used it in forever.
Because
with the UFC fight.
Even when I was with the Rockets, most sports teams in the three major sports were migrating towards ticketless tickets.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. And they didn't ask me for my ID. They just scanned my phone. So I guess if you can somehow get it through the app that you've purchased the tickets,
Can I give you the loophole to get around that?
Okay.
All right. So you're banned. All right. You do something stupid and you're banned. Okay.
Okay.
I get two tickets to a game. I give my ID. I give them all the information. You walk in with me.
I figure people would be creative enough to think of something like that. Sure.
You don't even need a disguise. You're in the ballpark because you didn't have to give your ID and you're on the banned list that would register with the MLB ticket app or whatever it is because you're going in with me and I gave them my ID. So, again, it's so difficult to try and execute this. Look, on the surface, good for Major League Baseball, swift action, and a hard penalty. But trying to enforce that penalty is the challenge that I don't know is possible in doing something like that. And, again, like we talked about with the crazy lady that got in the way and caused the big crash at the Tour de France.
Oh, yeah.
You have to send a message that resonates with the person that did all this. So, whether you go through with any kind of legal court battles or not, you arrest the person and you put a charge on it enough. It's assault with a deadly weapon.
It is, but
if you want to go severely, it's probably, you know, baseball probably not thought about as a deadly weapon, but it's assault regardless to some degree to where there's a fine, there's possible jail time. That's going to send more of a message to a fan than saying, hey, guess what? You're banned from all baseball stadiums.
Yeah, and I understand that using as a message, but for the most part, I mean, not every single fan is smart enough to realize the significance of what they did. Like, that person probably just doesn't care. And I think that's the part of the problem. You have to find a way to encourage fans to behave correctly without just banning them. I'm not saying stop banning them. You should absolutely ban them when they act up. But there's got to be another way because clearly banning people just doesn't work anymore.
Let me add something to it because I don't know if you noticed or not, but they haven't done this yet. This is another way you do it. You put a name and a face with it. So now the embarrassment, remember the couple that was saying all the lewd things to Westbrook? All of a sudden their names came out, their pictures came out, and they were forced to deal with the stupidity of their actions. I'm putting this guy's, he is the poster child now for idiotic fans. I'm putting his name out there. I'm putting his picture out there. And I'm saying, if you see this guy, he is banned from all stadiums across Major League Baseball. I don't care if his Twitter gets bombarded. He has to shut it down. I don't care that he faces the scrutiny and embarrassment. Guess what? You did that to yourself, dumbass, the minute you decided to throw a baseball at a Major League player.
Yeah, but you also have to, that fan has to perceive all that as something terrible. Again, my whole thing is finding a way to encourage them to stop doing this. Because I feel like these fans just don't care if they get banned. They don't care if they get absolutely killed on Twitter. They don't care if they're made fun of on a newscast. They really don't. These guys are crazy enough to do this again and again and again, I feel like.
That what happened in Washington over the weekend.
Yeah, that was bad.
So you had two cars shooting at each other outside the Nationals Park. An innocent bystander, a woman going to the baseball game, ends up getting shot, not, thank God, non-life-threatening, but she gets shot in the process. The cars shooting at each other, the two guys in the one car end up going to a hospital to get treatment, and they get them. The other car's still out there, the other two guys they're still searching for. But again, it's not just the stupidity of the people in the building. That caused mass chaos. Players running for the dugout. As you mentioned earlier in the show, Tatis Jr. and other Padres players, Manny Machado amongst them, encouraging fans, come into the dugout. take cover with us, get out of there so that nothing happens to anybody else. I can't even imagine if I'm in a ballpark and shots are being fired and you can hear him on the broadcast too. And you're like, oh my God, where's it coming from? And how the hell do I get to safety? That's got to freak you out. And then to take it a step further, the dumbass that goes on Twitter and says, what are you talking about? What's the big deal? When you hear shots like that, that's the Astros telling you it's a fastball.
Oh, that's so stupid.
People now, of course, the cowardly chicken bleeper decided to go private on his account once he started taking the heat. But that's what just tells you that the whole concept from a fan perspective is just completely out of whack.
Yeah. This is what the manager from the Washington Nationals, Martinez, had to say after the game in regards to that, because he was actually trying to help people take cover because he didn't know where those bullets were coming from either. He just heard
like
it.
Like I've said it before, you know, for me, they're family. You know, they're our fans. I mean, they sweat just like the players do, just like I do. You know, they're here for us. And a lot of these people I've seen before that, you know, that came through. They sit above our dugout. You know, like I said, I just wanted to make sure that everybody was safe. It was a reactionary thing. You know, there wasn't really much. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was safe.
And because on the PA, like they said, everybody stay in their seats. There's no need for you to be on the field and all that other stuff. Cause I think at that point they recognized that the shooting was coming from outside. So they were trying to send a message to the fans to just stay put. It's better off for you to stay inside and there's no need for you to be on the field. Now, I would assume someone who really didn't care about the shooting probably used that as an opportunity to take advantage and jump on the field, whatever, as long as everybody's safe.
But think about that, Nick. If you're
shooting from outside, I can see why the PA people are trying to keep them calm and say, hey, just stay in your seats. Don't go anywhere. And at the same time, I can see why Martinez was trying to help fans and give them some cover because he didn't know where it was coming from.
You and I have the same tickets that we just got from wherever we got them. And you and I are sitting on the third base side. I understand what the PA is telling me to do, but we don't know where those shots are coming from. At the time, we don't know if it's outside or inside. And if you and I are looking at each other going, we need to get the hell out of here so that we're not, you know, because if it's a sniper situation, you know how crazy people are. If you're in sight and they're inside the stadium, you're a target.
People just need to calm the hell down. Man, it's scary. It's scary. Throwing baseballs, shootings, like, it's scary.
Water bottles, right? Soccer game, you get the USA player hit in the face. Kyrie Irving just missed his head when the guy threw the full water bottle.
Yeah.
The popcorn.
I'm not going to let the pandemic be an excuse for all that behavior. Like, let's say, like, because lately, like, have you seen what's going on in California? Apparently, because anything valued under $950 is not going to be a felony. It's a misdemeanor. And, like, they don't have to stop them. So if you're in the Walgreens and there's a video that went viral and he's literally stealing goods and they can't stop him because it's below $950. Like, I can see someone reacting that way because of the pandemic. You know why? Because he's broke and maybe he's in a corner and he's putting himself in that. Why are you throwing a baseball on a baseball field? Like, why are you doing that? What's the incentive there? You know what I mean? Outside being an absolute D-bag, what's the incentive there?
And I get the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry. It's never so serious that, one, the ball was intended for a kid.
Yeah.
But you intercept it and you think you're going to be all cute and throw it back. And you hit a player with it and you don't think he's going to be mad or you should face consequences, you're a dumbass.
By the way, I witnessed petty crime over the weekend.
Oh, I need to hear about this.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it on the other side. I think you'll be very interested in how this went down because it happened right in front of me.
Wow. Okay, we got that to look forward to in hour number three right after that. So stick right where you are. It's the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back. Wrapping up hour number two, three-hour program. Press Box ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. And you know how it goes on a daily basis. It's Nick and myself. I'm very intrigued. I have one of my own that doesn't, no matter what it is, I don't think it's going to equal yours. But I'm intrigued that we both witnessed crime in the past week or so.
Mine's was just, I was just more impressed at how calm the individual was, just because there's no way, if I was carrying out something like that, there's no way I'd be that calm. But right before we went to the break, we talked about the guy that went viral either at a CVS or a Walgreens. No, it was a Walgreens.
Oh, right.
Who basically had a trash bag and stole a whole bunch of goods. And I think out in Cali, if it's below $950, it's no longer a felony. It's a misdemeanor. So people are literally taking stuff.
I hadn't heard that.
And yeah, it's called Proposition 57, I believe, is the rule out there. But I was just going to the grocery store, man. And the way the grocery store is set up at the one that I go to is right when you walk up, there's like an organic like juice section where they sell like immunity shots and vegetable juice and
next
all kinds
massages?
Of no they don't not at this particular place.
Okay.
And then if you go a little bit further and it's not too far from the entrance door, there's like this area of nothing but hot chicken, you know, those they sell those whole chickens that are already made and cooked for you. And so I was walking in with this dude and he had a mask on, but he had one of those gator masks. And he's massive. I mean, he's probably 6'4", 6'5", well over 300 pounds, you know what I mean? And he's just big. So we walk in, and he couldn't have walked in slower, like, because I was initially walking behind
him. So you're not with him. You're just walking in
at the
same time.
I just happened to walk in the entrance the same time he was.
Got it.
And so we go to the organic section, because I was actually buying one of those immunity shots, and he happened to be walking at the same section. So I'm, like, waiting behind him, and I guess he noticed me, like, behind him. He grabs two like big bottles of like this green vegetable juice calmly. I grab the immunity shot. He makes his way to the area where all the chickens are. So he has two bottles in his hand right now, and he's making his way to grab a chicken. So he grabs this chicken, right? Mm-hmm. And normally when you're done paying, you have to leave from a different entrance. No one's done paying and walk out. They never walk out the entrance because there's no cash registers there. So he just goes literally from the vegetable juice spot to the chicken spot, grabs one chicken, and walks right out the door, passes me back up, back out the entrance where he came from, and he was walking incredibly slow. Like it was nothing. So a part of me had to give him a little props just to be at how calm and cool and collected he was. But he just went up to the juice section, grabbed two bottles, went to the chicken section, grabbed the whole chicken, and walked right out the entrance door that
now,
he walked in from.
Normally, isn't there like a barcode or something on them that sets off? Like at certain places, if you're walking out, even at the mall and stuff, if you're walking out the exit and you haven't paid for it, it'll set off that boop, doop, doop, doop.
I can see it at the mall. I can't see it at a grocery store. I've never seen that at a grocery store.
Huh.
It didn't do it. It didn't do. I saw him walk right out. He didn't.
Wow.
And you can't tell what he looks like. He's got that massive.
Oh, that's right.
It goes
all
the way
to. You can pretty much identify his size. But,
and that's it.
And the clothing.
Yeah. I don't even remember all that.
And then most stores also have cameras on the entrances.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're talking like, I think down here, anything below $50, I think a cop won't even mess with you. That was not even 20.
Well, plus the store doesn't even know he did it.
No. But what are you going to do? Like, you're gonna call the police on someone that stole $12 worth of food? Like, what are you going to do?
Where's the chicken?
I'm not that guy.
The chicken. Give us back the chicken.
I don't know if he went with like the lemon pepper or like the, because they have different flavors. Oh, they got
I'm
the lemon
well
pepper.
Very well aware of the fact, yes. Yeah, I don't know if he went lemon pepper or barbecue.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean.
Well, it's funny because I went through something similar because I felt the guilt of like going through the motions of should I report them? Because I got the kids. And we're walking towards the counter where there's candy. And I'll just say Maddie's shoe came off. And so I had to stop to help Maddie with her shoe. But before I did, I'm walking in and directly in front of me is the counter with, I'd say, probably a high school to college age kid. He turns and like doesn't even look up to see if anybody's looking. And he goes right to the Reese's peanut butter cups and he grabs one and just all in one motion, he grabs it and he thinks he's sly and he coyly slides it in the front of his pants. And so he looks up and I'm looking right at him like, dude, what are you doing? And so he looks down, looks at me, looks down. And I'm like, okay, so if that's me, I'm already so guilted into this and feeling so awkward. I'm putting it back. Nope. He walked while I was putting Maddie's shoe on. He walks away from the counter. And so I'm watching him. I'm like, I'm curious at this point. Like, does a dude have a conscience or what's he going through, right? So he walks away. And I'm like, well, he's probably contemplating what his next move is. Next thing you know, I get Maddie's shoe on. And as we're leaving, I kind of bow out towards the door so I can get back to where he is. And there's like a snack bar. He's over in the corner eating the Reese's.
No shame in his game.
Nothing. And I'm like, okay, this place, there are cameras.
That's the other thing. That takes manpower. You got to go back and watch it. See, the reason why the San Francisco one, and I'll actually retweet it at the producer, Nick. The reason why this video was so appealing to me is because there was two people witnessing him do it, and they just weren't allowed to stop him.
Now, did you ever think once to report them?
No, I didn't.
Your guy?
No, because it was food.
See, I didn't either, but I also have a different mentality because of my wife. Last time I told you when I was at the Mexican restaurant getting takeout and it was late and they were screwing up my order and I looked back where they do from the kitchen to the bagging up process and I saw the smart ass bagging it up, open up my fajitas and grab some chicken and eat it to try and impress a chick. And the chick was mortified and she her jaw dropped open and she's like, what are you doing? And I saw it and I went and told the manager and they were like, first they don't believe you. Then they said, well, we got to go check. And I know they're not going to check anyway.
Right.
But then Lisa's worried about, well, he, you know, he'll, if they question him, your phone number is on that order and he knows who ordered the chicken fajitas. He's coming after you. I go, the hell's he going to do? She, you never know. He's got friends.
That's why I don't, see, that's why I don't mess with, you're right. I could, but I honestly, I understand her fear. I understand her fear, honestly, because you never know with these people. Legit. Like you really don't know with these people.
It's crazy. Well, there's some stories that just show you what's going on in the world as you and I have both witnessed crime right in front of our very eyes.
I when he did it, I laughed, honestly. I laughed. I was just, and I looked around to see if anybody else noticed him walk out. No.
Someone said $0 to $99. It's a Class C ticket, the same as speeding.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're giving tickets. Like, if they stop you, they're basically, you're not going to jail out there in Cali, if you get busted stealing less than $950 worth of goods. Down here in Texas, I don't know what it's like, but golly, you got to have some guts.
Man, I'm telling you. Well, I'll tell you what, you got some guts if you go to a brake shop these days because you got to endure unhealthy conditions with just grime all over the place, a waiting room that's nasty, vending machine food, cold coffee, bad television, uncomfortable furniture, and we haven't even gotten to the actual amount of time you're going to have to wait and waste while you try and get your brakes fixed. You don't have to do that anymore. All you got to do is go to newbrakes.com. That's NUbrakes.com. When you go there, you're going to find out that they have certified technicians. They only do brakes. They're not going to upsell you on anything else. And you can schedule an appointment where they come to you and do what they're going to do, which is your brakes. You can have them. You can have it done at your house where they come to the driveway or the garage. They take care of everything while you do other things. It's like time is money. So the time you're saving is worth something all in itself because while they're doing your brakes, you could be cutting the lawn. You could be watching a game, drinking a beer, whatever the case may be. You could have do it at work. Nick and I were doing a show a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday. They came to me while we were in studio doing the show, got my keys, did the brakes. Less than 45 minutes later, returned my keys. Everything was phenomenal. The brakes are great and it's painless. It's like, why would you go shopping for groceries, as we were just talking about, when you can have the curbside groceries and save all that time? That's what they do for you. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, you're going to save 10% off the top. But you're going to realize more so than that, you're going to get the same kind of competitive prices as you get at a brake shop. You're going to get technicians doing fantastic work, and you're going to get an hour or more of your life back while they do the work while you do other things. It's phenomenal, and they do great. NUbrakes.com, that's newbrakes.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.